The Cap of J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago! That's why I
say immigration. Shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say
immigration. Good morning and welcome into the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, John the Hood with you. Hope that you have a great Tuesday. Shot or no shot, every day at 8 o'clock, and it's brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the updated PointsBet app. Get the lightning bets, the same-game parlays. Have a whole lot of fun. The live in-game, same-game parlays are a lot of fun as well. And if you like to play the ponies like me, that would be the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Good morning, Secretariat. Here is our friend. His name is Snorling.
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
Ready to go.
Cap?
We're doing very well because along with what Cap mentioned, Cap's pool party VIP package giveaway, man, this is going to be great. We're going to start this today, right, Shay?
That's right. Today, tomorrow, and Thursday, listeners will have a chance to win a VIP package to Cap's event.
Okay, so, Charlie, let's hear Secretariat again coming through the studio here. So you listen for that Secretariat, right? You listen for the great horse coming through our studio. When you hear it after Shot or No Shot, that's your chance to be a winner. Caller 5 will get a VIP package to Cap's pool party at Hawthorne's newest OTB in Villa Park this Sunday. Got a new OTB in Villa Park? Holy bleep.
In sports gamble, horse gamble, the whole deal. And I'm going to pick horses. They're giving me a bankroll of $1,000. I don't get to keep it, I wish. Oh. But if I turn that $1,000 into $5,000, $10,000, whatever, if I win, they're going to share all the winnings with all the people that go to the event.
That's amazing.
Isn't that a great idea?
It is a great idea.
That was Dakota Schultz who was putting this whole thing together, and Jim Miller. They came up with that idea.
So guests can bet along with Cap and offer suggestions. Club Hawthorne and Villa Park features 40 beers, 200 whiskeys, 100 new big screen TVs located at Crazy Poor Sports Bar, 105 East North Avenue. So, again, when you hear Secretariat, be the fifth caller and you're hooked up with this great VIP package giveaway. Our way of saying thanks for listening to Cap and Jay
Hood. This Sunday from 3 to 5.
All right, let's go to Shay Norling now. Shay?
Well, impromptu here. This is Cap's pool party. Shot or no shot, he should spend the event in a swimming suit.
That's a shot.
That's a no shot.
That's a shot.
It's a no shot.
Ah, you look great there.
I'm wearing a Peyton Manning Tennessee jersey.
Is it tied on the side with the bikini bottom? Or
yeah, exactly.
Okay, well that's good enough.
The Speedo bottom and the Peyton Manning jersey top.
Hey man, give us a little.
What do you think I am, Giselle back on the market?
Are you?
No.
Oh, I just had to check in and ask. No. I mean, you're hot, Cap. Go ahead, show a little skin.
I'm gonna pass.
All right, maybe next time. All right.
Let's go, Shay.
What else do you have?
All right, Lewis Riddick joined Waddle and Sylvie yesterday to talk about his belief in Justin Fields. He had this to say.
Yes, I do. I do. I believed in him before the draft. I believed in him when he went through the offseason, his rookie season, how much they loved how he was putting in the time, how he was invested, what his skill set was, what his mental horsepower was. I believed in all of it. I didn't like how he was always utilized in his first year under my good friend Matt Nagy. I didn't like it and didn't agree with all of it then either, because of the same things you're talking about right now. When they did utilize him, put him on the move, run a quote-unquote hybrid type of offense, you saw how it kind of accentuated what his positives were at this time and started to, and it kind of put some, you know, put a little bit of a roof over some of his weaknesses until he didn't need that roof over his weaknesses anymore, and he had time to develop. Again, the same damn thing that they're doing for Jalen Hurts right now. The same thing, and all of a sudden now we're talking about Jalen Hurts as an MVP candidate. An MVP candidate. And you also saw this. Look at what Jalen Hurts is doing now in the second year in the same offense. For the first time in his career, he's had the same play caller from year one to year two. And they get A.J. Brown, and they have Devontae Smith, and they have Dallas Goedert, and they have Miles Sanders, and they have the best offensive line in football. And all of a sudden now, he looks fantastic. Justin has none of that. No stability, new system, isn't being put on the move and being utilized as a dual threat runner passer, has no weapons on the perimeter outside of Darnell Moody, really, that you would consider to be a guy who's a game breaker, or has proven to be that he can be a game breaker. He has two fantastic running backs. So what conclusion can you draw on the young man at this point? It's just not even fair. It's not even fair to even say what he can or can't be, because nothing is set up for him right now to even make that determination. Nothing.
Lewis Riddick with us on Waddle and Sylvie. Lewis, is it still going?
I'm sorry.
Fields belongs to a group of 20 first-round quarterbacks since 2000 who have had a completion percentage under 60 in their first two seasons. Another one of those? Josh Allen. Shot or no shot, Riddick is right about Justin Fields.
Shot. He's basically saying the same thing I've been saying since freaking June.
Mm-hmm.
He's got no O-line. He's got no receivers except Darnell Mooney, who's a three. A couple solid backs. And we want to blame Justin? And again, I am not excusing the mistakes he makes. He's a young quarterback. That is going to happen.
Yes.
But for people to look at, there's another bad pick. Mike Lombardi. Clown comments, bro. When he said that Ryan Pace, there's another gift. He gave you Justin Fields who can't play. He's wrong. And that's why Lombardi's working for Visa and not an NFL team.
The hope is that he's wrong. Because if he's right, not only would he be right, but also Matt Nagy would be right.
Well, no, I don't know if Matt Nagy would be right. Matt wanted to trade up to get him. Matt wanted Justin.
But Matt didn't want him to work. He didn't want him to play. He wanted him to sit for a year. He knew when he put him in.
He's already right about that.
He knew when he put him in, he didn't want to play him.
People were going nuts here. How can you not let Justin compete for the job? Justin wasn't ready. He was not.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, say what you want. It's an indictment on what we had going here in Chicago. Andy Dalton looked pretty damn decent for the New Orleans Saints.
That's who
the
he
other
is.
Day.
Yeah, that's who he is, though.
Just a solid
pro. Just solid. He's
not great.
Not going to embarrass you. I mean, he's just a solid pro.
But Justin was not ready to play last year.
I would agree with that. And I like his comp to Jalen Hurts makes sense to me. My hope is that in 2 years, that's what it looks like. I'd love for that to be the case. Because you see what Hurts, he mentioned the weapons around Hurts. People are going to try to throw Hurts out too, Cap, until he mentioned the weapons. Tight end, wide receiver, good offensive line. It's the reason why they're undefeated right now.
Yep.
So Hurts is learning. And by the way, Hurts' numbers at times are not eye-popping, but the team does enough to be able to win, and that's the key. All right, Shea, what else do you have?
All right, MLB analyst Bruce Levine is very high on an idea that we know Cap loves, Jose Abreu to the Chicago Cubs, saying it's in fact the Northsiders who are more likely to sign Abreu than the Sox. So my question, shot or no shot, Jose Abreu will join the Cubs in free agency.
That's a shot. They need to replace
Hold on. I was the first to report that Abreu Cubs could happen. Cap.
I love Bruce. That's such a good dude.
That's fine. That's funny. But I thought that you told me.
I told you that. But Bruce reported that. I'm a talk show guy.
What, no, oh, yeah. 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 I'm just a talker. You reported on the show.
By the way, Abreu Cubs possibility. How about that, Esposito?
I did tell you that about, I don't know, 7-8 days ago. That's fine. Bruce is really good. Anyway, Abreu and the Cubs, yes, there is mutual interest there. Does it get done?
Thank you.
I have no idea. What if Rizzo opts out of his deal? He has an opt-out. And let's assume Rizzo ends up playing for whoever. Not the Cubs. And Abreu goes to the Yankees. They say, we need a right-handed first baseman. Bam! There we go.
Would you say Rizzo would be what now? We're gone? Where would Rizzo in that spot?
Let's assume wherever he would go. He has an opt-out after 1 year. He had a hell of a year.
You're keeping him. You're keeping Rizzo.
If you're the Yankees?
Yeah.
You have to give him a new deal for a lot more money. Maybe the Yankees don't want to do that. I don't know. He had a very good year. Very good year. So
I'd keep him on the team.
I would too, but he's going to opt out of his remaining year at $16 million. You're going to have to pay him more. He's going to get his payday, I would think. So the Cubs are not, it's not going to be a fait accompli that no one wants Abreu and the Cubs will roll in there with a small deal. But I think he gets a 2-year deal for $15 million. Nice money in baseball parlance.
So the question is, what, Shea, about Abreu? Shot or no shot, what?
Abreu will join the Cubs in free agency.
It's a shot.
I mean, I think it's possible. Sure, it's a shot. Look, the Cubs need to be able to start filling some of these holes here. Like, my friends here is a little bit more optimistic than the Cubs than I am, because I think that's 24. I think that you start turning the corner in 2024.
I think you can contend in 23. I do. The Reds, stop. The Pirates, no chance.
You don't have enough pitching to hang in there.
I disagree with that, because they'll go out and add more to their staff. They have a pitching infrastructure that's much better than it ever was.
And less meaningful ball game. It's a different animal if you're really contending.
Agreed.
In this you know, lousy second half, I'm talking about as far as a one-loss record. Yes, did they look better in the second half? Yes. But was that meaningful baseball? Was it baseball in anger, if you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Were you contending for something? You were not. It's just a different animal, man, if you're really going for it.
Correct.
So it's not saying they're not competing, but what did you compete for in the second half?
But that division, very winnable. Very winnable. If you get Mr. Ricketts' checkbook and Jed spends intelligently, I'm not advocating a 10-year deal for $500 million. I'm not. But if you go out and, wow, they added a who? A really good starter. Like that. Oh, they got Abreu at first. Trey Turner's at short. But now all of a sudden you're going.
Sucks fans would throw up seeing Abreu at first base. I know. Like, I'm okay with it because I understand changes need to be made. I told you in the season, I'm like, you know what? Make the hard decisions. The people that you like, you might have to get rid of them. And I'm totally fine with that. I'm not attached. Whatever you need to do to get in the mix in the playoffs, I want that. It's a shame that we don't see the White Sox here in the postseason on our TVs in October. That's nonsense.
Agreed.
So make the tough decision. If Abreu's at first for the Cubs, nothing I could do about it. Pat Hughes coming by.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we have?
All right. Game 5 of the American League Division Series, speaking of the Yankees, was postponed for rain last night. Oh. Yankees fans in the stadium were told at 6:30 the game would start in a delay, and there were no further updates until the 9:30 decision to postpone the game, leaving fans in the lurch for 3 hours. The game will be played today at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. our time, and now the Yankees are allowed to start Nestor Cortez. So shot or no shot? The Yankees helped themselves, but they screwed their fans.
Well, first of all, the Yankees didn't make the call. It was MLB that controlled it. It was all MLB. They wanted to play last night, the Guardians did, as did MLB. The Yankees, yeah, we'll take an extra 24 hours of rest or thereabouts, maybe 20 hours. So I don't think they screwed their fans. It's just part of the deal. It sucks, but that's when you have baseball in the fall, the weather can be an issue.
I'm not happy with the Yankees. I'll explain that coming up next, because that's not right what they did to the fans. We'll explain that coming up. And also, still to come, we will have our Bears NFL review with Albert Breer coming up at 8:35. The 3-time NBA champion Stacey King at 9:35.
Looking forward to that.
All part of our conversation here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and J-Hood. Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. After we're done, it's Greenberg, Mike Greenberg from 10 to noon, Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 2, Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 6, Bleck and Abdallah 6 to 7, right into Phillies and Padres baseball, the playoffs at 7 o'clock right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Glad you're in today. Still to come, we'll have Albert Breer come up at 8:35.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to him about the state of things going on in the National Football League. And what he's hearing, the trade deadline is, what, a week from Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Week from Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
So
Bears won't be around. Doors closed. Not open for business.
they should be moving anything that's not nailed down.
Oh, I agree with you. But, you know, it's polls. Like, if you're trying to, you're already on the trajectory to the top five pick anyway.
Agreed. Aren't but you? You're telling me that if someone picks up the phone and says, hey, I'll give you a fifth for David Montgomery for the last several weeks of the season. Sure. If you're not going to re-sign. Now, again, if he's in your plans, different story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to sign him to a long-term big money extension. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, I'll take the pick.
I think the attitude around the NFL, and we can tell, is kind of what Carmen Yurko say all the time. Like, anybody can run the football as long as the lanes are open. That might be the Bears' approach, too. As much as I love David Montgomery, he's a pillar of this team this year.
Agreed.
But, you know, Herbert does not have the power. He has more of the shiftiness, as we saw in the last game. He's that. But I think they look at the running game like most look at the running game. Like, just open up the holes. Anybody can get through it.
But if someone offered you a 4 or a 5,
sure,
you're not going to get a top pick for him.
Sure. Go ahead.
Done. Sold.
Yeah. Where are you going anyway?
Nowhere.
Now, to the team, as we heard from Keyshawn Johnson, we heard from, you know, players. Who's the guy from the Eagles that we heard from? We just played it last week. The guy,
Jason Kelsey.
To the players inside that locker room, it's all about the W, because otherwise they feel like, well, if I don't have that edge, I'm wasting my time.
Right. If you're not trying to win, why am I putting my health at risk?
I get it.
So do I.
Just a couple things, Cap, before we hear from Albert Breer. One baseball, one football. So Yankees and Guardians are postponed. Now, we're old enough to remember me going to old Comiskey Park and sitting there in the rain. There was no Skilling. There was no John Coughlin. There was no Harry Volkman to tell me whether or not there was a window or not.
Or an app.
Yeah. There was none of that, right? No one could tell you what the window is. But I think it's baseball being old school and not understanding, hey, these fans are in here. They're buying beer. They're buying concessions. They're throwing the football around. I saw that. Throwing the football around at Yankee Stadium, waiting for the game to start. Hey, man, you got the map. I know for ratings and revenue, you want this game to happen. But for people today in 2022 to sit there in the rain for 3 hours is BS. Come on now. You saw the Doppler. It wasn't going to get better. Stop. Send those people home. For God's sake, sitting there. Now, us as old schoolers, we're used to sitting there. Guess it's going to have to wait another 2 or 3 hours, get another beer, another hot dog.
So I was listening in the car, and we are carrying, Danny has programmed the evening baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hearing Dan Shulman, and Dan Shulman is doing the call of the game. And he said, here's the latest update. We got a better update listening to ESPN 1000 than the fans in the stands did in New York. And he said, we're being told the earliest they could start was 9 Eastern, 8 Central.
Mm-hmm.
They're hopeful that the weather will clear and they can get the field ready and play. And then about 45 minutes later, it was still pouring. They went, there's too much water on the field. We're done.
It's not going to happen, man. Come on. But they
were trying.
But you got the Doppler. It wasn't stopping. Send those people home. That's one. Second thing is, Cap, is why can't baseball players play in the rain? It's kind of like the open mind thing we did last week.
So Waddle asked that question on our old show when it was me and Tommy.
Yeah.
To Mark Grace. He said, I play in any kind of weather other than lightning. He said, why can't you guys just play in the rain?
And what did Gracie say?
Are you crazy, Tom? A baseball can slip out of someone's hands and kill somebody. It's different. Yeah, he was all over town.
It's funny about sports, right? So if it's a driving rainstorm, you can play football. Doesn't matter if the ball is slick in the hands of a receiver or a quarterback. Nah, let him play. Now, I find it interesting. Here's something I could not do. First of all, I couldn't play quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to play quarterback, the way that some of these players, including Teddy Bridgewater, has a glove and is playing quarterback with a glove, I couldn't get the grip that I want on the football.
They say that the glove gives them better grip.
I couldn't
Special
do that.
Special kind of gloves.
I would need to have that feeling of the football.
It's not
for me.
It's not mittens from Patagonia. It's a glove with sticky stuff on it.
Who's Patagonia? Who's she?
It's a winter brand.
Oh, is it a winter? Okay. Thought that was some chick that you found.
No.
Nonetheless, I just need to, to me, you look at baseball, yes, it's different. But still, Cap, I mean, come on. Can't play baseball. We played baseball in the rain. Never hit anybody, did we?
But do you really want to see the best teams fighting to stay alive and move on to the next round and play it in the rain?
That'd be awesome. You know, cinematically, that'd be great.
It's pouring here at Yankee Stadium. Judge will take a 2-2.
It is true that the ball would slip out, but that's when you can sneak in like the sticky stuff. So that way you'd have the movement that you want.
Yeah.
And it's funny that in sports and soccer and in football you can, but in baseball you can't play in those in inclement weather. It's funny how that works. Sidebar Mayor Approach.
Yes, brought to you by Ankin Law. 3126 million for the great Howard Ankin. Put that lawyer in your phone.
Sign my ball. So Tom Brady, let's talk about him before we get to Albert Breer. So I saw, now what was this, Shay? Was this on TMZ about Brady?
Page 6.
Page 6 in New York, the New York Post.
Correct.
Right? So what did you see there?
Tom Brady was spotted walking without his wedding band for the first time since the divorce rumors began.
God, I can't say this is new. We've seen this in newspapers and periodicals over the years, right? The snoops, people looking out and seeing where athletes are, where the stars are. He's not wearing his wedding ring. Okay. Well, they're getting a divorce, Sherlock. So that shows he's not wearing the ring, right?
Yeah. Look, this should all be a private matter.
He's not a private person. It's Tom Brady.
Correct. Now, if you want to say, hey, he was spotted with no wedding band, all right, whatever. But the fact that she's got a divorce attorney, here's who it is. He's did whatever.
Is that too much, you think? Should we not know that type of information?
I don't need to know about their divorce. I don't.
Well, here's the question. If he were still in New England, would we know?
If he was in New England, he probably wouldn't. Would he be getting a divorce? I don't know.
He would certainly not have gone to Bob Kraft's wedding on Friday night.
Well, that's
missed
true.
The walkthrough on Saturday, the team meeting, all of that. No chance. I talked to Wani yesterday. Who's got ties? He coached in Tampa.
Yeah.
He's got ties to the organization, and he knows Tom. He said 5 years ago, Tom Brady, New England, locked in trying to win another Super Bowl. Zero chance. He said, I love Tom. He's 100% in the wrong. 100%.
He's taking advantage of him, his goat-like status. That's the problem, Cap.
Yeah.
Here's a guy that was always all in.
Well, he doesn't want to be in Tampa. He wanted to be in Miami.
Well, I mean, business is business. Succeeds and sometimes business fails. It just failed. That whole thing of him trying to get Gronk and Sean Payton to Miami is not going to work. It's not working right now. But Cap, here's the problem with Tom Brady. Several times he had a chance to write his own storybook ending. I wish I could do that in my life. And maybe I can. Maybe you can. To say, you know what? This is the period at the end of the sentence of my life. I was able to do all these different things, period, retirement. So long, everybody. Right?
See you later.
But not Tom, though, because football is important. Now, again, we don't know about their marriage. We just know the outside of it that Tom loves football enough to keep going. After retirement, tried it for a little bit. So I missed the game. I came back. And all of a sudden, a divorce happens. But the problem is, Cap, is that the Tom Brady we saw in New England, the Tom Brady we just saw win a championship with Tampa, it's not the same Tom. What I was looking for is diminished skills on the field. I'm seeing diminished skills in life for him. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a diminishing of a great star, not because he's divorced, but because where's the work ethic that was once there? Where is that? You're just dipping out of practice?
And then he's screaming at the offensive line. Now, that's all in the heat of battle. I get that part of it. I just was stunned that he would leave the team to go to Bob Kraft's wedding. Really? And miss team meeting and walkthrough before a game?
Well, it's been a lot of that this year, right? He missed 2 weeks of training camp for undisclosed reasons. Now I think we can extrapolate it was probably
marital
personal stuff
problems.
At home.
Yep.
But it's been a lot of, like, I'm not really focused on the football. I'm going to go do the things I'm going to do because he's at a point where he needs to find balance, right? Work-life balance between the football and the personal life. He hasn't had that. But now you're kind of giving up the football. He's having his worst season ever through
six
games.
He looks terrible.
I mean, he looks gaunt. Just, he doesn't look good.
He's going through a divorce, Cap.
I went through one. What? It's not a fun process.
I understand.
There's many out there listening have gone through. The whole process sucks. It is what it is.
I guess the for him, it's just difficult because it's public. And he's in season, and his focus is not where it needs to be. He's yelling at that offensive line, but he's really yelling at his ex-wife to be.
But she may be yelling back.
I'm talking about that's all. When he was yelling, he didn't see the offensive line. He saw something else.
Right, but when he came out and said, yeah, I played some golf. I spent 5 weeks with the family. Now I got to get back to football. Really? Because 5 weeks ago you said I retire to be with the family. I did that for 5 weeks. I'm out. That was the tell right there.
Brother, if this was any other quarterback, we'd get on their ass, and we're getting on his ass too.
Deservedly so.
You're the greatest of all time, and all of a sudden, you're not focused on what you need to be. One loss record aside, I thought we'd see diminishing skills. It's just that his life is crumbling before our very eyes.
Correct.
And
all of it.
Hopefully, things will work out for him. That's
hopefully
the key. Albert Breer, next on Cap and Jay Hood. We're going to hear from Albert Breer in just a moment here from SI.com. But first, let me tell you a little about Bosley. Guys, if you're suffering from hair loss or worried about your hair, you got to check out Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts. The sooner that you take care of your issues, the more options that you'll have for keeping and restoring your hair. What are you waiting for? Get your free Bosley info kit and a $250 off gift card when you text WIN to 203-203. Again, text WIN to 203-203. Hey, get your hair back with Bosley. Charlie.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
What Bert is it?
Cap and Jay Hood. Morning, 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. An hour from now, we'll hear from a three-time NBA champion, Stacey King, on the Bulls as the NBA is back. But now, we talk to Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com. He joins Cap and Jay Hood every Tuesday at 8:30 here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Albert.
Good morning, guys.
What's up? How are you?
Fine.
I'm good. I'm in New York. We have a big owners meeting today where I think they're all going to they're going to go through a bunch of boring stuff, and then later in the day they're going to kick everybody except the owners out, figure out what to do with their little problem in D.C.
Oh, I see.
Oh boy!
Can you report that Al Michaels is there leading the meeting?
Yeah, that was something else, wasn't it? Because I mean, these are usually, I don't know, these broadcasts are usually sanitized, and I think that's why it gets so much attention when like anybody says anything. Like, you guys can remember last year when Troy Aikman said something like, it was something along the lines of like, boy, it'd be nice to be at that game, right? Like, mm-hmm. Where like he felt like Fox got screwed out of a game or whatever. So you know, for Al Michaels to say what he said about an owner on a standalone broadcast, I know you guys were probably laser focused on that one because the Bears are involved, but to hear him say that, I, you know, it definitely got my attention. And he's close with some people at the league office, including the guy at the very top. So, you know, I think what you're starting to hear and feel and see now is the pressure is going to be amped up even more than it's already been on Snyder to sell.
So let's talk about our Bears. I got some other things I want to get into with you as well, but let's talk about our Bears because they were pathetic on Thursday night football. Mm-hmm. Now they're on the national stage again Monday night. And how about this weekend? If the Packers beat a bad Washington team with Taylor Heineke at quarterback, and the Bears lose to the Patriots on Monday night football, Belichick's win makes him the second winningest coach, passing the guy he's tied with, George Halas. And the Packers would move past the Bears by one win as the winningest franchise all time. Not good for Chicago football this weekend. What was your takeaway on what you watched with Justin? Because I believe Lewis Riddick was on the station yesterday, said it. I believe he is the long-term answer, but boy, he's getting a lot of pressure around here.
Yeah, you know, and I circled back with some people that I knew like Justin coming out after the game on Thursday night. And your God, you know, like what you're hearing from a lot of the people that really like Justin coming out is the Bears have to do more to help him, you know, and it's not just the players around him, because you can't snap your fingers and make a full complement of skill players appear. You know, you just can't do that. And I mean, it's unfortunate, but, you know, Justin sort of got caught in the crossfire of he gets drafted into a regime that was just hanging on. And the roster needed to be blown up, and he happens to be sitting there going from year one to year two, which is critical for a young quarterback, with a roster that's getting blown up because new guys are coming in, right? There's nothing you can do about that. You know, that said, there is stuff that you can do to help him schematically, and you know, I think what we're seeing is, and what we've seen over the first 6 weeks of the season, is a player who is incredibly athletic, and not only athletic, but skilled as a runner too, who can make plays with his arms on the move, who can do spectacular things in scramble situations off schedule, right? And a guy who can throw from the pocket, but needs work and refinement and reps back there. And I can still remember this, guys. You know, I actually think of Jared Goff. And what happened with him from year one to year two, where he went from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay. And in year one, he looked awful because they were trying to shoehorn him into an offense that didn't really work for him, and he wasn't ready to run coming out of Cal. And McVay went back and looked at all the stuff that he did at Cal and how much of it was play action, how much of it was about getting him playing fast and in rhythm. And Sean put that stuff in, and they won the division the next year. And it's not like they had done a ton around him. I mean, they had Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods, so it's probably better than where the Bears are right now. But, you know, like they did things to make him more comfortable and to get him confident and to get him playing fast. And I think if I'm Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy right now, that's what I'm looking at doing. How can I get him playing faster? How can I get him more confident? How can I get him so he's not thinking about it and freezing out there? That to me is the big thing. And I, with these young quarterbacks now, like I'm telling you, just you have to meet them halfway. You know what I mean? Because we're asking them to play so early, and there's no redshirting anymore. Like I think what the smart coaches have done is, you know, with the young quarterback, you figure out what they do well, you look in their history and see what they've had success with, and you meet them halfway. And I think the Bears have to do a better job of that.
Okay, so why are most people not firing on Ryan Poles? And I ask you this. Ryan Pace, let me be clear, created the mess that the Bears are in because he didn't draft well. He didn't acquire enough good players. That's for sure. They had $10 million to throw at Riley Reiff the night before training camp. They signed Schofield the night before training camp. Did Larry Ogunjobi $40 million contract blew up when he failed the physical? That money's still sitting there. So why did they not go out and add something to keep this kid upright from getting killed? He's getting pressured at the highest rate since ESPN started tracking quarterback pressures in 2009. Through six games, 46.8% of the time he's under pressure. So I don't understand how Ryan Poles can look in the mirror and go, oh, I did all I could to help that kid.
Yeah, it's hard. And, you know, like it's interesting hearing you go through that, Cap, because I think every piece of the puzzle that you just laid out, those are all veteran additions. Those are all veteran moves, right?
Yeah.
There wasn't a draft pick involved there. Well, you know, Ryan Poles' background's all on the college side. So I think it's fair to ask those questions. You know, did they handle the veteran market correctly in Ryan Poles' first off season as a general manager? Because right now it doesn't look like it. Now, to be fair to him, there are a lot of offensive line issues across the NFL. And he wasn't exactly, you know, starting with the 94 Cowboys out there. You know what I mean? Like, his starting point was pretty low.
Well, Larry Allen wasn't available.
Yeah, there was no Mark Tune around. So, you know, I think, like, that's part of it, you know, is that You know, when you're looking at reworking your offensive line and figuring out, like, who the right guy is to sign, like, who you can trade for, who you pick up on waivers, the margin for error on the offensive line is much smaller because there are far fewer of them. And the guys coming out of college are tougher to project now because you watch the college game, like, what are all those offenses doing? Ball's out in 2 seconds, guys just standing there and getting in the way. Like, how does that guy project to the NFL? It's hard, you know? And so, like, I just think this is like a kind of a confluence of you got a first-time GM who's still learning the job, and then you've got, like, a position group that's a huge problem for you and it's affecting your young quarterback, and there just aren't enough of them around to go around the NFL. And so, you know, I think you kind of get left in this spot then where – yeah, like the margin for error is so small that, like, even a small screw up, like even getting one of them wrong, like you said, like Schofield versus Reef, right? Like you get one of those wrong,
yep,
and now all of a sudden, you know, the problem metastasizes because no one's got depth on the offensive line, and no one's got backup plans. You know, I mean, look at the Rams right now, right? Like the Rams are crumbling because they've had a couple of offensive line issues, right? So, like, I think that's sort of what it is. Like it just happens to be a position group that everybody has trouble filling, and you got a first-year GM trying to do it, and a first-year GM who wasn't left with very much from the previous regime when it came to that position group.
Steven in Blue Island wins the Cap Pool Party VIP package giveaway. We'll give away another one tomorrow, as well as Thursday and Friday right here on Cap and Jay Hood. What's up with the Patriots? Why is everything clicking with the Patriots offensively? And what's in Albert's phone? We'll find out coming up next on Chicago's Home for Sports. Talking Bears and NFL with Albert Breer in just a moment here on Cap and Jay Hood. Small business owners, lend us your ears. You may have overpaid on your payroll taxes during COVID. Call this number, 800-704-2000, with any ERC questions. That's 800-704-2000, or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com. Again, it's OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or funds run out. Charlie.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Cap, poor brother Wilkes, right? I mean, he's back in Carolina.
Yep.
Coach is fired. You've got a wide receiver just doing his own thing, and Robbie Anderson. Right, he's just trying to just hang on. Sad, man.
Gone.
It's just sad.
Robbie, get out.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Albert, you know the Patriots like the back of your hand. Could you tell us, why is everything clicking so well for the Pats offensively? That's the question, because you just mentioned moments ago, you know, if you're a young quarterback and if you're a veteran coach, you got to meet the quarterback halfway. Is that what's happening with Belichick and Zappe?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think part of this was there was always going to be adjustment coming off of Josh McDaniels and going to a couple of guys, Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, who really have no background coaching offense or very little background coaching offense. And, you know, like they sort of took the opportunity to simplify the offense. And the reason why, I think it's pretty logical. They spent 20 years adding and adding and adding to the offense while never subtracting, and they got really, really complex. And that was great when you had Tom Brady as the quarterback. But it limited what they could do as far as acquiring other players, right? Like, and so, you know, they had to cast a narrow net when it came to linemen and cast a narrow net when it came to receivers, and they needed a certain type of player. And so the idea was coming into this season, let's figure out what we're good at, and let's pare down what we're doing, and let's make this simpler so we can play faster. And I think the first few weeks of the season were sort of figuring out what they could do to play fast. And I think it sort of turns out that the rookie that they got in there was really good at some of the things that the other guys were good at, if that makes sense, where you know, Zappe's background is different than Mac Jones's. He comes from a spread background, both in high school and college, where Mac is sort of more from a pro-style background, even though from a skill set perspective they're similar. And so it was, we have this in our bag now, we want to be simpler, and this rookie quarterback is giving us the opportunity to do it because his background meshes with a lot of that stuff. So I think that that's sort of how they've gotten where they're at right now. And where they're able to play pretty fast with a rookie quarterback. I do think it kind of relates to what we were just talking about with Justin. You're right to think that.
Okay, so we had this debate here, and there's this, you got to hire an offensive coach. It's an offensive league. And then, you know, Justin Herbert's a developing good young quarterback, last night notwithstanding. I think he's banged up. That's a defensive coordinator. Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel. Harbaugh was a special teams coordinator. Matt Eberflus here. I believe a head coach should be a CEO. Get me the best CEO to run the deal, and I'll get coordinators to do what I want them to do. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? Here's what I would say. If you go and you ask Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan or Matt LaFleur or any of the guys who've had success early on as these like offensive play caller / head coach types, right? I think they would all tell you that what I do as a play caller is way down the line as far as what's important for me to be for my team as a head coach. And so do I think it can be a bonus? Yeah. I think there can be a bonus to it in that, like, if your quarterback is young and starts playing really well, you won't have to upset the apple cart every couple of years because his offensive coordinators are getting plucked away. That said, you know, I do think that it's the most important thing for a young quarterback is to have good players around him, right? Which the head coach is a part of stocking the roster, is to have the right environment around him, is to be in a good program. Like, I think all of these things are every bit as important as the structure of your offense and what you're doing to help your quarterback. I think all of that stuff's important. So, is it a piece of the puzzle? Yeah, it absolutely is. But I think one of like the most damaging things, as far as like the way these guys are perceived over the last decade, has been the public gets a hold of the all 22 now, and like they think they can look at it and like completely understand like what's going on with which quarterback and why. I think that the idea of getting the right offensive play caller in there, like that stuff can be done without making that guy the head coach. Again, is it a bonus? Is it beneficial to have that guy as a head coach? Sometimes, yes, it is. But, you know, I think if you talk to like the people in Los Angeles or the people in San Francisco about the greatest strengths of those guys, Matt LaFleur and Green Bay, I think, you know, things other than offensive play caller would come up. In fact, like if you look at the Packers situation over the last 3 years, I think the best thing Matt LaFleur did was find a way to keep Aaron Rodgers on board, you know, and find a way to mend the relationship. Like if Matt LaFleur is not there, Aaron Rodgers probably isn't either, because things had gotten that bad between Aaron Rodgers and the front office. And so that's another skill that Matt LaFleur had that I think was really, really important to getting the most out of his quarterback. And I think that can be true with a young quarterback too.
Give us something that's in your phone that you haven't told someone else.
Yeah, you know, I did we talk about the Sean Payton thing last week? I'm trying to remember.
We did with the Chargers.
With the Chargers and the Broncos and the Cardinals. And here's what I think is interesting. I hate that we're talking about the college coaches again, but I think that's one thing that I'm sort of kind of keeping an eye on right now. And, you know, what could happen with James Franklin at Penn State and where Matt Rhule could wind up landing. I think this stuff gets talked about earlier and earlier because the college cycle can affect the NFL cycle. And I do think that Sean's sort of going to loom over so many of these. And because of the new television deals, and this is one thing I think is really important to kind of keep an eye on, I think more owners are going to be open to the idea of one and done, where we might see it more because owners are more willing to eat contract term than they were before because there's more money in their pocket. And in a lot of cases, like say your coach has like 4 years and $24 million left on his contract, and say Sean Payton costs $25 million a year, like what are we talking about then? So that's one thing I've kind of got my eye on. And then I think this is a week when the trade deadline stuff's going to start to ramp up a little bit. And I think we talked about that last week too, with teams continually calling the Panthers about guys like Brian Burns and DJ Moore. Once those calls start happening, I think that momentum begins to pick up. And, you know, I think we're kind of getting into that area now where you know, over the next 2 weeks, the 2 weeks leading up to the trade deadline, that talk's going to start to pick up.
Albert, as always, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Have a great week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. You too.
It is Albert Breer from SI.com and Monday Morning Quarterback with us here on Cap and Jay Hood. We've got some Bears nuggets for you. Also, some interesting thoughts from Lewis Riddick regarding the Bears' future. We'll get to that right here in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.